You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And Dog Pound, be at First Energy Stadium in 2015 for the action and excitement of every game. Secure your 2015 Cleveland Browns season tickets by placing your deposit today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com, call 440-824-3434 for more information. Let's go to the phone lines right now. We've got Dave in Zor. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nathan. Hi, Matt. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Dave. Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great now. That interview, I mean, that's the most positive thing I've heard out of the Browns camp in quite a while. Man, that got me fired up. If that defense would improve even 50% on stopping a run, what kind of defense will we have next year?
Top five defense.
Yeah.
Doesn't it make you want to fast forward to August, like right now?
Oh, yeah. When's that season opener? Let's go.
I
like it. We're going to be bullies. We're going to knock people down. We're going to not let them get up. I liked everything he had to say.
Yeah, he was quite serious about it, too. I really enjoyed that.
Well, thank you, Dave. Thank you for the call. And, Nathan, I just want to point this out is the everything that he just said is probably what a lot of Browns fans feel that a Ravens defense and a Steelers defense has been doing in the AFC North for about the last decade.
Yep.
So it's about time that we build this team with the right personalities as coaches Jim O'Neill and Mike Pettine, defensive-minded, and the bloodlines with which they came from via Rex Ryan and his ability to play great defense and run the football. It is about time for us to just, you know, have our opportunity to step up in the ring and throw some knockout blows as well.
That's what we need to do. We need to be that kind of a defense. Until you have the quarterback position settled, you're never going to be that dominant offense. So you need to have that dominant defense, and you need to go ahead and be able to run the football.
Sure. And the other point that I just want to make is, you know, right now nationally, the Browns are a punching bag because of, you know, what has gone on this offseason. But how great would it be to be looked down upon, you know, nationally, but how great would it be to be looked down upon by the other 31 teams in the National Football League simply because you punch people in the mouth? You're hurting other teams' star players as opposed to them imposing their will on us, and we're going to our backup quarterback at a certain point in the season or having to go back to a starter at a certain point in the season and so on and so forth. For us to be giving the punishment is the epitome of what it's like to be the bully.
Right.
Finally.
Let me ask you this question. As a player, when you're seeing all this negative stuff about the Browns, et cetera, does that get you fired up to go out there and do it?
Yes.
To go out there and, like, knock somebody around.
It definitely does. And that's what also, too, is, just from a schematical standpoint, and that's why, you know, me, the former player, who's, very analytical when it comes to X's and O's, I wanted to know what percentage of the playbook we saw last year, you know, so that I could wrap my head around what that looked like. And then also, too, as, you know, as every good team does and every coordinator does, they have a portion of their package that they just can't get to because the players on that team that year, or in this case, in its first year in a new system, just weren't ready for that graduate-level stuff.
Yep.
And this is what I love about the game of football, and that's when a defense, it really gets fun. The guys want to play. The guys want to practice and want and look forward to Sundays, not simply for an opportunity to go out in front of 80,000 people, but it's to go out and execute the aspects of the game plan that have been added specifically for that week, and you see them, you know, executed properly, and in return you get that sack that you schemed perfectly versus an Andrew Luck or a Ben Roethlisberger, or you stop the run and Le'Veon Bell goes for, you know, 22 carries for 75 yards, you know, and is, you know, averaging, you know, under 3 yards a carry, or under, you know, 3.5 yards a carry. When you see those things happening, the buy-in grows by the practice at that point, and you get really, really good really fast, and then you become the dominant bully, and you start executing, and offenses don't know what you're doing.
How hard is it going to be for this offense going against a defense entering its second year that wants to be a bully in OTAs and in camp when they're still trying to put in a new offense, and kind of you got to get their confidence as well?
You do, and it's tough. And in some cases, and I think if we had Jim O'Neill an opportunity to ask him that same question, he doesn't care.
They don't care at
because
all.
Because if they've got to pitch shutouts all year because we're going to win 3-0, that's the mentality he's going to take. He already told us it doesn't matter who he has. He's going to formulate the best scheme with the guys that he's given, whether we draft him. We can go all offense. We can take 10 offensive players. He's comfortable with what we got because I think after last year and the amount of scheming and amount of studying they did of themselves, they now know what works and what doesn't. And then they add that graduate level stuff. And the guys that executed last year would have been good enough to be a top 10 defense.
What did you think of the talk of moving Armani Bryant a little bit to some outside linebacker? Give him some size in the run game on the edge. He can help set the edge, and he knows how to get to the quarterback.
Sure. At first thought, I'm a little hesitant simply, as we talked about with Nate Orchard, a guy that's played with his hand on the ground most of his career, now being in that 2-point.
What's the difference? Why should it be so hard to all of a sudden get going from standing up? It seems like it's an easier way to get going.
You would think it would be, but it's an entirely different world because you're imagine a horse with blinders on and then a horse take your blinders off, and it's like an entirely new world. You have to be able to see so many more things, and also too the communication associated with that position, when you're in a 2-point stance, as opposed to all you're doing is moving a gap and working one gap when your hands on the ground. But when you're up, your expectations grow. There are certain techniques that have to be played, which foot forward, which foot back, a number of moves that you can use. Do you have a two-way go? Do you not? And communication with the linebackers, because the best 3-4 defenses that I've ever been a part of, when you can keep the offensive guessing on who's rushing and who's not, is when you know you have them where you want them. And when we have Kruger and Armani Bryant, you know for almost a darn fact that both of those guys are rushing. So then it's by a process of elimination, you know what coverages or what scheme they're running behind it. So it's a tell. So you want a guy like a Mingo who can drop a band, but and also to be a significant threat as a pass rusher, which we may in fact still get via the draft.
And that's somewhere that I'd like to see them go in this draft. It'll be interesting to see what Mingo can do. I also like that he brought up Pierre Desir, because that made me feel validated. That's my guy, Pierre.
Yeah.
But you look at it now, you'd have Hayden Williams, Desir, Gilbert, and Kaywan Williams. That's five corners. That's five very good corners. Not to mention Robert Nelson, who I like as a slot corner as well. I think what the biggest takeaway I took from that is that the best three will play regardless, and they'll be able to move them around however they see fit.
And I think also, too, the one thing that we've seen, Joe Hayden might like to follow around a number one. But if Jim O'Neill, now that we have the luxury of a Pierre Desir and his ability to play that big physical wide receiver, and or a Tramon Williams who's covered Calvin Johnson better than anybody in the National Football League, that you have the flexibility. What if you put Joe inside? And you put Tramon and Pierre, or Tramon and Justin Gilbert outside to go versus, and so there's just so many more things that you can do. And the same thing goes for the defensive line. When you have a group of guys that aren't pigeonholed into one scheme or one front or one position on the front, but guys who are good at multiple positions, that makes it very difficult for an offense to scheme you when you're consistently changing and you've got a group of guys who are all bought in to win when they're on the football field.
216-578-0850. That's the way to get on board with Cleveland Browns Daily. Talk about Jim O'Neill, etc. The career coach checking in, our guy, said what fans do realize is we're not complaining about the coaching staff. That's key to making the next step. Pettine is the face. When you're coming from a horrible franchise, front office, getting the right staff is more important than the quarterback at this point. So people do like the staff. Again, it was a very, very good interview with Jim O'Neill. And if you missed it, I'd urge that you check it out at clevelandbrowns.com or download the Browns mobile app in the Apple or Android stores. Now, John Royf checks in. He says, we need a bully in the interior to get the necessary space for this defense to be what it wants. Danny Shelton, anyone? That's why he has been so linked to the Browns at 12.
I agree. And I know we had a, Hiram from Cleveland called in earlier and talked about Jordan Phillips, another great active body. But to me, Danny Shelton just fits this scheme. He fits the conversation that Jim O'Neill just had here, in the Dog Bowl about having that disruptor, having that active body inside, having another playmaker in the front seven that a team's going to have to scheme for, And why would we have to scheme for a nose tackle? Because you got a guy that can play on the other side of the line. And what does it do? It gives Paul Kruger a single block. It gives Barkevious Mingo an opportunity to be single blocked. Scott Solomon, maybe Dansby in a one-on-one, with a guard. Those are the opportunities you get. Or Dansby on a fullback or a tailback. Anytime you can get a one-on-one situation, you have to put the favor in the defensive player to beat that blocker.
And that's what the Browns hope to do, get somebody that's a mismatch that has to get schemed against, and that allows everybody on the defense to be more effective when they're going forward and trying to do their jobs. We're going to take a break. When we come back, get on those phones, 216-578-0850. We might play some sound from Jim O'Neill just to kind of reinforce it for those of you who missed it. That's coming up next on CBD.